I'd like to begin with, if you have the Rambam in Perek Beis, and that would be the middle and towards the bottom of your page 3. The Rambam says that in the case of mitzvos bein adam lechavero, it's not enough to do tshuva, but we need also what he calls ritzui. All right, we'll have to figure out what that ritzui is. And then, when the Rambam goes into more detail in Perek Beis Halacha Tes, which begins in the third section of page 3 and goes on to the fourth, the bottom section, he writes that afal pi shehichzir lo mamon shu chayav lo, so he compensated his friend for any damages, any financial loss that he caused him, any theft, tzorech lerat soso v'lishol mimenu sheyimchol lo. So he has to be, so let's translate lerat soso as pacify for the time being. He's got to pacify his friend and he has to ask for mechila. Then the Rambam goes on and he says that even if he caused him no financial loss, but hiknit eschavero, meaning he insulted him or caused him anguish, bidvarim, with words. Here the Rambam changes his language a little bit. He writes tzarch lafaiso, which again, loosely translated, he has to appease him. But then again, how's that different from l'ratzoso? And then he says ulif goabo, which means to approach him, to encounter him, and to beseech that he forgive him, ad sheyimcholo, until he gets his desired, you know, his desired mechila. Then the Rambam goes on to talk about situations in which, if he's not successful in getting mechila, he brings three friends. The Rambam says that at some point the responsibility shifts over to the victim, and he has an obligation to be mochel. The Rambam even speaks about asking mechila after someone dies by bringing 10 people to his burial. But what I notice about the Rambam, and I saw a discussion about this in a sefer called Sefer HaTshuva. I think I've mentioned it in the past. It's a commentary on the Rambam on Hilchos Tshuva. Imagine 3 volumes just on Tshuva. From Rav Yosef Cohen, Zichron Levrach, who I had the honor of the privilege of knowing and hearing shiurim from him, he also raises this question. The source for the Rambam is a Gemara at the end of Yuma, and the Gemara tells a number of stories about different Amoraim and how they were able to get others who sinned against them to ask for mechila, like they used to show up in their store. You know, you show up in their geshäft and you hope that maybe at this time of the year of Yom Kippur will get the message, it's time that they ask for mechila. And the issue that Rav Yosef Cohen raises in the name of many achronim is why did the Amoraim have to do this? If their goal is to get the offender to ask for mechila so that the offender could go into Yom Kippur with a clean slate, why didn't they just sit in their place, so to speak, stay where they are, and be mochel? No, let's say Rav, for example, somebody insulted Rav. So why did Rav have to come to his geshäft and hope that the guy would ask him for mechila? Why couldn't Rav stay at home and just be mochel him? And according to one interpretation, I'm not saying it's the only way of learning the Rambam seems to imply that a person has to personally show up at the doorstep and face to face with the person that he sinned against, the, we'll call him the victim for lack of a better word, and ask him for mechila. It's like there's this like face to face encounter. You know, there's no such thing as just getting a mechila. Like, for example, in many cases, the halacha says if you can't do something personally, then you send a shliach. Right? Let's say I want to marry a woman and I can't give a kiddushin, so I send a shliach to marry a woman. Why is that funny?
Like Skype.
Oh, the Skype is not working?
No, I'm saying, what about asking Mathilo by Skype?
Oh, I see. Maybe that would be face to face. I don't know, but it's not through a shliach, so maybe it's okay.
So I'm sorry. So you're saying that it's a question of whether or not you could say you could send a shliach, or you say
I'm saying that there's that Joe. What I'm telling you is that in the Sefer HaTshuva, which unfortunately I don't have access to this minute. Otherwise, I would read to you that line. He quotes an entire camp of Achronim that interpret the Rambam that it's not enough just to get Mechila. That's not the idea. You know, it's not like the entity of Mechila, and that's your goal, that's your objective. But this entire process by which you get that Mechila at the end. Obviously the goal, the end zone here is the Mechila. But there's a whole step-by-step process, and there are detailed requirements and halachas that control and govern how you get to that point. How do you achieve the mechila? It's not going to be enough just to get the mechila. For example, if Rav thought that somebody sinned against him and the goal here is to get mechila, then Rav could just have sat in his place and he could have pronounced mechila. You know, ich bin meichel. You know, like you'll take a look in the tefillah zaka. You know, you'll see you make a general statement, I'm mochel anyone. I don't want anyone to suffer on Yom Kippur in the judgment of this din on my behalf, unless I have money that I can, you know, that I can sue him for. But why is Rav, and again, there are a lot of stories in the Gemara, why is he showing up at the guy's geshäft, as I call it, to make sure, to hope at least, that he'll ask him for mechila? Forget about that. If the goal is mechila, or the Rambam gives you all these words and terms and different synonyms, you know, tzarech l'ratzoso, tzarech l'livgavo, tzarech l'vakesh menu mechila, tzarech l'faiso. I mean, like four different terms that the Rambam uses here. Why not cut this all out? Forget about being maratzim, being mafayasim, just send a shliach. Why don't you just call up your friend and ask him to do you a favor? You know, you're in Canada, you want to ask mechila from someone who's in Yerushalayim. You know, do me a favor. I know you're on a trip to Yerushalayim. Do me a favor. Tell him that I appointed you as my proxy to ask you for mechila. Maybe the Rambam would again recommend that. And maybe if there's no other no other opportunity and Skype is not available, so maybe that's what you should do. You should send the shliach, but you know, it doesn't appear here in the text of the Rambam. Did the Rambam perhaps, and that's what I'm telling you, the Sefer HaTshuva offers a school of thought, the Rambam deliberately omitted all these other possibilities, but rather the Rambam puts all the emphasis on going through the step-by-step process of pius and ritzui and livgavo and levakish from mechila. What do you want to say, Joe? I know you said you have something on your mind, but I don't know what it is.
So, well, I was going to say that maybe by going to the person to ask mechila, he's not going to change his mind later on. But you said first that Rav was the one who wanted the guy to ask him for mechila, so that knocks off that concept.
Yeah, because then it becomes weak. Then you're going to have to say that Rav was afraid that maybe he would grant his to the offender mechila, and then he would change his mind. I don't know. That's going very far. You know, when you
I'm saying from the first standpoint, from that he goes to him, so the guy won't. You know, he might, you know, give him forgiveness, and then later on change his mind, and it won't be strong. But if he sees the guy come in front of him and that kind of stuff, it's going to be a much stronger
Again, it could be, but as I said in the Gemara, you don't get that impression.
Okay.
I'm sort of driving this point because I get the sense from the Rambam that Mechila and Bakashas Mechila is a lot more than what we think it is. And I want to approach this and investigate this from two possible perspectives, and I think that they both might be right. I'm going to start with one perspective, and that is Rabbeinu Yonah in his Sefer HaTshuva makes a big deal about what's called busha. The Rambam hints at it, but he never really goes into detail. And somehow the chote has to experience busha as part of his tshuva process. You know, the Meiri also has a chibur on tshuva. He also emphasizes this concept of busha. Now, I would like to put this whole concept of busha, and perhaps that's why we want the chote, in the case of Beinon Lechavero, to show up personally to ask for mechila. And as you and I would definitely admit, it takes a heck of a lot of courage, you know, in certain cases, to ask for mechila. You know, we would rather say, oh, he's not going to, you know, he'll be mechil me, you know what I'm saying? And I don't even have to ask him. You know, it's a lot more comfortable to say that. And as the offense gets even more severe, it becomes even more challenging to lower yourself, so to speak, and overcome your, you know, your self-pride and ask for mechila. Why is busha so important? And I was thinking of something I heard from my Rebbe many, many years ago. And he said the following, that there are two repercussions to chet, and each one has to be addressed by tshuva. The first repercussion of chet is what we call a chiyuv onesh. The Gemara says that if a person says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's a vatron, you know, he'll waive it, and I don't have to worry. God is compassionate; He won't exact any punishment for my crime. Is Yevatru al Chayov? I mean, very harsh language. You know, he like forfeits his right to live. And one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim that the Rambam codifies the 13 principles of the faith is reward and punishment. So we believe in punishment. That's a fundamental. And a punishment is like a chov. What do I mean? It's like a chov. Let's say I borrow $1,000 from you, then I owe you a debt of $1,000. Now, through tshuva, that debt becomes wiped off. And that's really called mechila, or kapara. And what it means is, the Ramban says the word kapara means to clean something, to wipe off some filth. In this case, the word kapara means to wipe off the chov. It's like, for example, if I own a shtar, and the shtar says, you owe me money, I can simply tipex it, you know, white it out, or I can rip it to shreds, and I'm mochel the chov. Now, from that perspective, it could be that in Bein Adam L'Chavero, if I owe you a chov, then you could just completely waive the chov. And that's called mechila. I don't know if there's anything else that I have to do. But there's another dimension to chet, and therefore to tshuva, that sometimes we miss, you know, we miss it for, you know, we miss the forest for the trees, or the trees for the forest, whichever way it goes. What I mean to say is that chet is also metame. If you ever read through Tefillah Zakah, which I highly recommend, the only thing is you got to come a little early to shul, but on Erev Yom Kippur. But if you have the time, even if you can't say the whole Tefillah Zakah, you'll see over and over again the concept of tumah. You know, tumah really has to do with death, if I have to be totally gory about it. That's why the greatest, most intense tumah is tumah's mess. And then you have tumah like for example, tzaras. A mitzvah is also choshev kemes. And then you have things like zav and zava, which is also has to do with the, you know, the inability of a person to procreate. All this has to do with death. And in a certain sense, chet causes tumah. It contaminates the person. And it's almost a kind of like a death, because God gave me life, but it's conditional. I have to use that life. It's a great gift, and I have to use it for God's will. You know, there are conditions built in. It's not just an outright gift. Life, God remains the Adon, you know, the master, and we remain the Avadim, and He controls and He regulates how. Once we sin, then we basically forfeit our right to live. That's why the Yerushalmi is famous for the argument between, you know, between Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Torah says, you know, chet chote mayehelov, and he says nefesh chotas tamus, he deserves to die, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, no, yase tshuva, let him do tshuva. On this level, tshuva is a metaher, and perhaps Yom Kippur has a special role to play as far as Tara is concerned. Because the Pasuk says, Lufnei Hashem titaru. But be that as it may, busha, in my humble opinion, and I never heard this from my Rebbe, but I would love to, you know, if I could call him up, I would like to, you know, run this by him and see what he would say. I would say that on the one level, mechila is fine, you know, wipes off onesh. But it doesn't really penetrate into the personality. If the personality has been contaminated by sin, then what's required is a kind of tara process. That's why I think Yom Kippur is always compared to a mikvah. Right? And that's what Rabbi Akiva says, that even after we lost the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have Kohen Gadol, we don't have Sarah Mishtaleach, but we still have Tshuva and Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Akiva says. So there's a whole Tara process here. Now, if you follow the Avoda carefully on Yom Kippur, you'll see over and over again that the Shliach Tzibur will recite Vidui as if he were the Kohen Gadol. But at some point, he turns to the Tzibur and he says one word, Titharu, meaning, I can serve as your shliach for a kind of a technical process of vidui, and I can achieve some level of kapara on your behalf. And the shliach tzibur, as I said before, replaces the Kohen Gadol of old. But at some point we get to Tara. There's no shlichus for Tara. I can't tell you, go into the mikveh for me and purify yourself. And if chet is metame, that's something I have to do personally. And no shlichus would operate. And I'm suggesting now that busha is a part not of mechila and of kaparas ha'onshim, for that I don't need busha. That's more of an external, superficial, technical or mechanical halacha. But as far as tara is concerned, to replace the, you know, neshama shenasata b'tahorahi, as we say every morning, to get back to that tara after chet pollutes the man, for that you need busha. Busha is a very cathartic experience. It cleanses a person. You know, it's like when I hate to use this example because I get a shudder in my, but it's like when the dentist, you know, when he drills you and he gets out that decay. You know, he's gotta drill out the decay. Here also, I think busha is going to drill out the pollution and the contamination of chet. It's going to be matar the person. And that's why I think tshuva on its most profound level is like a recreation of a personality. The Rambam says, Mishane Shmo. He changes his name. Klomar Eini Oso Aish, the Rambam says. I'm not the same person who sinned. I'm recreating myself. You know, if chet means death because it's metame, then tshuva means life. It's tara. And that requires a much more profound process emotionally and spiritually. And Bush, I think, is part of that. Now, when I'm sorry, Dan.
Why can't I say that Busha is Isurim? So therefore, is part of Kapara.
Well, the problem is that Isurim doesn't seem to be required in Tshuva except for what we call Averos Chamuros. If you take a look in the Ram Perek Aleph, Yisurim only enters when you get to I forget exactly, I don't have the Ramam in front of me, but when you get to Chiyuvei Kares or Chiyuvei Mises Bezdin. But for most run-of-the-mill Mitzvah Saseh, Mitzvah Lo Saseh, the Ramam doesn't require Yisurim. And if Busha is an element in Tshuva from soup to nuts, you know, from A to Z, straight across the board, no matter what, you know, what avera you're guilty of, then, and not only that, Yisurim is something that requires self-acceptance. Just like the Din of Karban, it says, at the beginning of Vayikra, it says, Lirtzono. You know, you can't bring a Karban without a Ratzon. So in some sense, Yisurim as a replacement for a Karban, a Chiyuvei Krisus, because we don't have a Karban today, requires some sort of a Kabbalah, a formal Kabbalah. Busha is something that's natural. When I say natural, means it's something that I experience in a passive kind of a way. I'm not saying that, look, I sinned, now hareini muchan or mezumen, I'm really ready to accept upon myself Yisurim as a karban. Busha is part of an inner process of transformation of personality. What is Busha? Busha means an acknowledgement or a realization that I'm not living up to what I should be living up to. You know, and I realize that I'm not really who I think I am. I feel Busha.
I don't see it. I see it's the other way around. I have Yisurim because I, Chas v'Shalom, I get sick or something. Then I get Yisurim without me accepting anything. By Busha, I have a decision to go and ask for Mechila. I know that it's going to be Busha.
I don't know, Dan. I don't know that getting sick would automatically come under the category of Yisurim. Yisurim would be the following. That I sinned, Chas v'Shalom, right? I sinned. And now, as a result of Tshuva, I declare that I am accepting upon myself, if Chas v'Shalom Hashem brings on me Yisurim, that's my karban. If he happens to fall sick, and this is thrust upon him against his will, but again, that's a whole different shia, not for today, you know, Yisurim. What I really want to come back to is the following point, that if you accept the premise that in order to be Mavakesh Mechila, it's not enough to send a shliach, and it's not enough for the offended party to just declare Ich bin Meichel, as it says in the Sefer, in the Tefillah Zaka. Maybe that'll help as far as Mechila, meaning the first level, but as far as Tshuva Shel Tara is concerned, it requires that you humiliate yourself and go through a really transformation. You overcome any sort of hesitations and embarrassment, and you ask personally for Mechila. And you look the fellow in the face and you say to him, I sinned against you and I have remorse and regret and I want to do tshuva. Now, as I mentioned to you before, I think I have another approach as to why a person has to personally show up and ask for mechila. So having said, you know, one answer, now we go on to Ibayis Ema. And I want to offer another answer. If you take a look on pages 1 and 2 of your Makomos, you will see that the concept of Bakoshas Mechila appears in two different Mishnayos. On page 1, you'll see a Mishnah in the 8th Perek of Yuma, Mishnah Tes, and there the Mishnah says that Yom Kippur is not itself sufficient to be mechaper for averos peinon lechavero, but rather you need ritzui achi yiratze es chavero. Now, if you fast forward to page 2, you'll see a mishnah in Perek Achovel, And there we're talking about a case where you injured someone and you owe him compensation as a chovel. The Mishnah says, afal pishu no sein lo. He gave him and he reimbursed him for nezek tzar, pre-shevis, and boshes. Nevertheless, eino nimchal lo, ad sheyavakesh mimenu. And this is derived from the parsha of Avimelech and Avram Avinu. Then the Mishnah goes on to say that you should be willing to, you know, and easygoing about offering mechila. Now, the question is why we need two Mishnayos. And this question comes up in a different form, but I think it's essentially the same question in the Rambam. Because the Rambam that we began with, which is again, if you follow it on page 3, the Rambam says, "Ein atshuva v'lo yom haKippur mechaprim ela averos shebein onam lemakom," etc., etc. "Ela averos shebein onam lechavero," etc. "Eino nimchalo liolam ad." Number one, he has to compensate him in financial cases. "V'iratzeu," and he needs ritzui. Now, strangely enough, the Kesef Mishnah claims that the source for this Rambam is the Mishnah Bava Kama. He has, amongst these pages, on pages 8 and 9, a long essay from the Chevron Rosh Hashiva, who we've quoted on numerous occasions, especially when we used to learn in the old days in Midvale and so forth, the Rabban al Torah, and that's from Simcha Zissel Breuder, the Sam Derech. And again, I would love to find the time to go through these many, many pages of the Sam Derech. I don't have time for that right now, but one thing I can tell you is that he disagrees very sharply against the Kesef Mishnah, because if you compare the Rambam's language in Hilchas Tshuva to the language of the Mishnah Yuma, you'll find that the Rambam is almost identical with the Mishnah. The Mishnah Yuma. Why? Because the Rambam says, Ad Shiratzeu. And the Rambam says, Averos Shebein Onam Lechavero. He says, Eino Nimchalo, and he's talking about Yom Kippur, which is the subject of the Mishnah in Yuma. And therefore the Sam Derech rejects the Kesef Mishnah, who says that the source for the Rambam is the Mishnah in Bava Kama. Now, although I agree with the Sam Derech, but I still don't have an answer to my question, what is the difference between the Mishnah in Bava Kama and the Mishnah in Yuma? One thing I can answer, but it's only a partial answer. The Mishnah in Bava Kama has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. The Mishnah is talking about any situation in which a person injured, he assaulted his friend the whole year round, and the Mishnah establishes that he has to be Mavakesh Mimenu. Notice it doesn't say Achiratseu, the word Ritsui does not appear in the Mishnah in Bava Kama, nor does the word Yom Kippur appear. So if you ask me, what's my chiyuv in vis-a-vis bitzos bein onam lechavero the whole year, the gantz yor, the answer is levakesh mimenu mechila. Here, in the Mishnah in Yuma, when we're dealing with Yom Kippur, it's not just enough to be mevakesh mechila, but you need ritzui. And perhaps the secret here of this whole mess lies in the word ritzui. And ritzui, again, is something much more far-reaching and much more profound than simply bakoshas mechila. Bakoshas mechila is almost technical or mechanical, very superficial. Here we need ritzui.
But I thought it's enough to ask 3 times for mechila, and if not, I am patur.
Again, you know, in cases where you have no choice, the man is not willing to budge, then at the very least, you want to accomplish what I call the minimum goal. The minimum goal is going to be Bakoshas Mechila, and that's going to save you from onshim, from punishments. You remember the first dimension that we spoke about, Kapara, and that's Mechila. But we want to get to an entirely different goal here, if possible. Again, if he's not willing to play ball with me, Vas Kenechtan, you know, I bring the three guys and I ask him three times, and at the end, the Rambam says he's the Chote. Fine. That's all on one level. That's called Bakoshes Mechila. But the Rambam adds another point, which I think he copied from the Mishnah in Yuma, and that is Ritzui. Again, look at the Rambam at the bottom of your page 3. He says, Tzarech L'ratzoso. Besides Bakoshes Mechila. And when he gets to the case of Hiknit also Bidvarim, the Rambam speaks not only about Ritzui, but he speaks about Pius. Maybe Pius is even a more profound level of cementing this relationship. So my suggestion is, and I may have heard this from my Rebbe, I don't know, I don't want to take credit if it's his. If you don't like it, then it's mine. And I want to suggest the following, that on Yom Kippur, the requirement in Bein Adam LeChaveru is much, much different than the rest of the year. Why? Yom Kippur is not just a personal, individual day of Kapara, which certainly it is, but that's not how it works. The way that Kapara's Yom Kippur works is through the tzibur. It's through the community as a whole. I link into the community, into the tzibur, as a yachid, so that, in a sense, I attach my pipe. You know, some sort of a tzinar, you know, that I can plug into the tzibur. But basically, the kapara is a kapara satzibur. Now, how do I know this? First of all, the Rambam writes about Yom Kippur, and that again I think you'll see on page 3, that Yom Kippur is, okay, I don't see it right this second, is Keitz Mechila L'Rabim. Why does the Rambam mention L'Rabim? Not only that, every single chasima of every single tefillah on Yom Kippur is Baruch Ata Hashem, Mochel Lavonos. Lavonos, what does it say? Help me out here. Should get a hold of my master, but okay, I don't have time right now. Lavonos. Yeah, but what's after that, Bobby? There's something else there. The Lavonos. Just 1 second. Lavonosenu. Ulavonos Amcha Beis Yisrael. What? Right, and then it says, "Umochos avonoseinu ves ves amo avonos amo beis Yisrael." Meaning, there's a double language over there, and what that indicates is that there's a kaparas atzibur. The Tosis Yontif asks the following question in Masechta Yuma Pei Zion. He says, "How could Rebbe? We don't paskin like Rebbe necessarily, but Rebbe holds that Yom Kippur is mechaper bein l'shavim." Bein le'eno shavim. So he asks, how is that possible that Yom Kippur is mechaper without tshuva? And he says, there's one dimension of tshuva. I'm sorry. There's one dimension of kapar of Yom Kippurim, which does not require tshuva. All it requires is that you link into the tzibur. If you're part of the tzibur, you're a carrying card member of the tzibur, then you benefit from the kaparas atzibur. The kaparas ayachid, that requires tshuva even according to Rebbe. Again, there are many, many proofs that the kapara power of Yom HaKippurim is a tzibur-dik power. And what that means is that the tzibur has to come together as one entity. I once heard from my Rebbe, why is it that Yom Kippur, according to the Rambam, is called Yom Tzom? Okay, they're true, we fast on Yom Kippur, but there are many different dimensions to Yom Kippur. Why does the Rambam call it Yom Tzom? See, he pointed out that we don't know what the word Tzom means. Because we translate the word Tzom Well, where I teach, it's called a fast. Again, I can't pronounce it the way they pronounce it, but right. But that's not what tzom is. In Lashon Kodesh, the word tzom is a braid, B-R-A-I-D. You know, you have a mother who braids her young girl's hair. What is the idea of a braid? When we weave together the different hairs and make them into one. Or, for example, the Gemara compares the Tainis to the Ketores. The Ketores was made up of 12 of the 13 had a good smell, and the Chelbina had a bad smell. But the Chelbina, when it's integrated with the other 12, has a good smell. And that's why we start Yom Kippur by inviting the Avaryonim in. I don't know, I was in Clanton Park, I didn't see a single Avaryon there join us. But in theory, that's what we want to do. We want to invite all of our Avaryonim. Maybe we should think of a better method of doing that, but not just making a declaration, because the Avaryonim are not listening. You know, they're in the discotheques. But the concept is that, like the Ketores is an entity unto itself that's made up of many parts that integrate to form one whole. That's the way the Kapara of Yom HaKippurim works. And that's why at the end of Chazaras HaShatz, we say Yom. You know, when we talk about Yom Kippur, it says in the liturgy, in the piyut, it says Yom Simas Ava. You remember that? So therefore, it's not enough just to get mechila. You sinned against your friend, Rachmana Litzlan, now there's a barrier that separates you and your friend. It wedges between you. It's no longer a tzom. It's no longer an entity. So I'm offering now a second answer to my question. Why is it critical that the offender personally shows up? And what is the goal of this process before Yom Kippur? As a separate Yom Kippur halacha, codified by the Mishnah Yuma, that doesn't apply the rest of the year. And the answer is, unless he shows up personally, he will not achieve the goal of Ritzui. Bakoshes Mechila he might achieve, but that's not sufficient. That would be okay the rest of the year. But on Yom Kippur we need Ritzui. Ritzui means to restore the relationship, to remove the barriers. Rav in the Gemara might be a great tzaddik, and he who recites Tefillah Zaka is a great tzaddik. He's willing to grant absolute mechila. He doesn't want anyone to suffer on his behalf. That's great. But that's not ritzui. That's not going to cement the relationship. And for that you need achi yifka bo, the Rambam says. There's got to be a face-to-face confrontation. If I were Shlomo Kalbach, I would have said, and it has to end up with a kiss and a hug. Holy brother. You know what I mean? That's the ultimate goal of Ritzui. Okay, that's number one.
But are you saying that that's part of the klal?
What I'm saying is that in order to create this klal, which has now been splintered, if you follow me, through these wedges, we need Ritzui. The Ritzui will hopefully create a klal. Now, of course, you could ask me, well, that might be good in one community, but Klal Yisrael is made up of many communities, right? But at least we have a goal. The goal is to recreate that and cement that friendship.
In other words, just declare. So you're saying the Ritzui is not really part of his personal responsibility of, you know, Vidui and all the things you need to do for personal tshuva. You're saying that the Ritzui is part of his responsibility to, you know, make him, you know, to create the klal cohesiveness.
Correct. And basically, he has two obligations here. There's one obligation as a yachid, as an individual. Now, does he have to personally ask for mechila? Well, that was our first discussion before, that maybe that's the busha element that cleanses him and brings him to a state of tahara, perhaps. But now I'm saying, forget about that answer. Let's suggest a different kind of responsibility. Every Jew has a responsibility to make Yom Kippur the most effective Itzumo Shiyom power that it could be. And the precondition for that is Ritzui. I can't run around and guarantee Ritzui for everybody. Maybe Aaron HaKohen could have done that. And he could break down all the wedges and all the barriers that separate any of Klal Yisrael, you know, that could be. But what I could do, at the very least, is to try to break down any sort of barrier between me and the person that Chas V'Shalom I offended, and by doing so, you know, contribute to this overall general obligation to create a klal so that Yom HaKippurim could be effective. Now, the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Pei Vav, which you'll see on the first page of Yomar Makomos, creates a stira, a contradiction between two psukim regarding the following question: am I meant to recite Vidui privately or publicly? So Rav asks the following question. In Tehillim, it says, Ashrei Nisui Pesha Kisui Chata. I have to open up this light to read it. Kisui Chata. Kisui Chata means it's private. Then there's a pasuk in Mishle, Mechaseh Pshav Lo Yatzliach. Obviously, objecting to being very hush-hush and concealed, secretive vidui. And the Gemara tries two answers. The first answer is, ha b'chet mefursam, ha b'chet she'ena mefursam. Rashi explains that if it's a publicly known sin, tov lo she'yodav yisbayish, again the concept of busha, and he should not hide his sin. His sin is already well known, and therefore it requires a corresponding vidui that's public. But if the chet is ainu mefursam, then kisui chato lo yigal cheto, he should not reveal his sin. Ukvod Hashem hu, and this protects the honor of God. Shekol mash adam chotei befarhesya miut kvod shamayim hu. Any public sin is detrimental to the glory of God. So don't publicize your sin. If it's already known, then adrabba, let the people know that you have regretted, you've done tshuva. Then comes Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, kan ba'avero shebein adam lechavero, kan ba'avero shebein adam lemakom. Rashi explains, if it's bein adam lechavero, yigala barabin. Why? Somehow the rabbin will help him in his endeavor to try to get mechila. But if it's bein adam lemakom, then again, that's not something that you want to publicize. Now the Rambam, which you'll see on page 3 again, we're always going back to page 3, that's Perek Beis, Halacha Hey. The Rambam seems to say, Shevach Godol L'Shav Shiz Vada B'Rabim, it's a great idea, highly recommended that he recite a public vidui. U'megala Avero Shebeino Levein Chaver L'Acherim. That seems to reflect the opinion of Rav Nachman. Because he says, I'm fast-forwarding, B'Med V'Am Amurim Be'averos shebein adam lechaver aval bein adam lemakom edo tzarach lefarsem vi'azus ponim ilo im gilen elashav lefnei akel baruch hu porei chatov lefonov misvada lehem b'fnei rabim stam. In other words, he shouldn't indicate that he has sinned. You know, he could say the recital that's standard and uniform, but not indicating that he has sinned. That's in bein adam lemakom. If you take a look at the Hasogas HaRavid, the Ravid is not, he says, V'chein ba'averus mefursomos, he says, what about the case of public averos? If it's public knowledge that he sinned, then just like the sin is mefursom, so too the tshuva should be mefursom. In other words, why doesn't the Rambam except the first answer of the Gemara. And the Rambam should have qualified. The Rambam seems to make a blanket statement that with regard to mitzvos beit adam l'makom, he should be a hush-hush about it. The Rambam says the Ravid should have presented an exception to the rule. Namely, if his sin is public knowledge, even if it's beit adam l'makom, then his tshuva correspondingly should be public as well. And if we fast forward to page 6 and we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tafresh Zayin Sif Beis, it seems that the Mishnah Berurah tells us when he should be misvada b'kol out loud and when bilachash. And he embellishes this in his Sharat Ziyun, Sifkat and Gimel. He writes, Avon shebein odom lechavero, if it's a sin between him and man, imu mefursam l'rabim, if it's public, l'kuli alma mutal yomro b'kol. The Rambam says that even if it's not mefursam l'rabim, by virtue of the fact that it's bein odom lechavero, he publicizes his vidui. If you accept the first answer of the Gemara, there's no distinction between Beit Adam L'Chavero and Beit Adam L'Makom, but rather if it's Mefursam, then the vidui should be, if the sin is Mefursam, the vidui should be Mefursam. If the sin is private, then the vidui should be private. And that would seem to apply even to Beit Adam L'Chavero, that if it's a private sin, nobody knows about it, he should not publicize it. And yet the Rambam seems to indicate a blanket statement that with regard to Bein Adam L'Chavero, he should publicize his vidui. And it matters not whether his sin is well known or not well known. So it comes out that the Rambam seems to have accepted Rav Nachman, and he totally ignores the first answer in the Gemara, and the distinction is going to be only a single distinction. Is it Averis Bein Adam L'Chavero or is it Averis Bein Adam L'Makom? In the first case, he should publicize his vidui. In the second case, he should be very concealing and secretive about it. Therefore, the Ravid says, wait a minute, there are situations in which, even if it's Bein Adam L'Makom, he should be mefarsim his vidui, namely if it's a bein adam l'makom, and his sin is well known, reflecting the first answer in the Gemara, and that's why the Sharat Ziyun mentions that even if it's avon bein adam l'chavero, if it's not mefursim l'rabim, he should not necessarily be reciting vidui b'rabim. So both the Ravid and the Mishnah Berurah and Sharat Ziyun are referring back to the first answer of the Gemara and pointing out that the Rambam seems to be totally oblivious to the first answer of the Gemara. The Rambam paskins like Rav Nachman, and that's the end of it. And if you take a look on page 4, you'll see that there's a sefer called Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, and he says, what about after Ritzui? Is there any point to vidui after ritzui? And he says that he should be misvada al chatoim shebein adam l'chavero lifnei Hashem. If I understand correctly, and if somebody could disagree with me, that's wonderful. But the impression I get is that he's saying that there's a major shift here. You want to talk about vidui b'rabim, that's only before you achieve ritzui. And the whole point, he says, of ritzui b'rabim is to get the rabim to help you in your goal to achieve ritzui. If you've already achieved ritzui, there's no need and perhaps no heter even to publicize your sin. And once again, we're seeing here that the Rambam is not necessarily correct in making this absolute statement that Bein Adam L'Chavero requires a public vidui. Unless, again, we want to push into the Rambam, because the Rambam says that why is public vidui such a good idea? The Rambam says that... Just one second. Ah, the Rambam doesn't... One second, I thought I saw it before. One second. I'm getting a little confused here. Can you help me out? Where did we see? I thought it was in the Rambam, but now I don't find it. That it's a very good idea. It's highly recommended to publicize one's confession because others will help them achieve mechila. Where did I see that? I thought I saw the Rambam, and now it just disappeared. What?
My brother? Is it there?
Halacha Hey, paraphrase Halacha Hey.
Yeah, but he doesn't say anything about his friends helping him, does he? Well, why is it disappearing from me now? But I thought I saw something that said because he wants his friends to help him get mechila. I don't know. Now I'm confused. I don't see it now in the Rambam. So all I'm saying is the Rambam seems to have an absolute recommendation or advocating public mechila under all circumstances vis-a-vis mitzvos bein adam lechavero. The Tosefes Yom HaKippurim says, no, it's only a means to an end. We don't want to publicize sin. We're not in favor of public confession. We only need public confession for a practical purpose, namely in order to achieve Ritzui. If you've already gotten the Ritzui, then it's Lifnei Hashem. So once again, here's a third nafkamina, meaning there are three ways in which we could qualify the Rambam's psak, and the Rambam doesn't do it for us. He makes it absolute and unqualified. Number one, what's going to be the deal with Bein Adam L'Makom, that's a public sin? Number two, what's going to be the deal with Bein Adam L'Chaver, that's a private sin? And number three, what's going to be the deal with Bein Adam L'Chavero when he's already achieved Ritzui? Now the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Pei Zayin quotes a pasuk in Shmuel. Okay, we don't have too much time, so I'll try to just fit this in very quickly. The pasuk in Shmuel says, "Im yechta ish le'ish ufililo Elokim." Im yechta ish le'ish ufililo lechavero. In other words, it seems that there's no need to ask Hashem for mechila in a case of Bein Adam L'Chavero. All you need is ritzui from your friend, and that automatically sets up mechila. So once there was bakashas mechila from your friend, there's no need to do tshuva l'ashamayim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk ends with v'im l'ashem yechta ish mi yispalalo. And the Gemara says tshuva u'maisim tov. So if it's l'ashem yechta, he sinned against God, then who's going to daven on his behalf? He's got to do everything himself. No one else could save him from the situation that he found himself in. Therefore he needs tshuva and maisim tovim. But if it's a chet of ish l'reyehu and he's achieved ritzui, he doesn't need tshuva anymore. Now if that be the case, if that's what the Gemara is telling us in Pei Zayin, then the Rambam makes no sense. Because the Rambam says that with regard to Bein Adam L'Chavero, he has to be misvada publicly. And it seems that's the way the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim learned it. The Rambam doesn't qualify. It means even after he achieves Ritzui, there's still a point to vidui and even public vidui. But the Gemara seems to assume that once you see that in Beinon Lachavero, there's no extra mileage that he needs to go a step further and get and be shav and misvadel if nei Hashem if he's already achieved ritzui from his friend. In fact, the Rambam is pretty outspoken about this. You'll take a look in Hilchas Tshuva Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, and the Rambam writes, which I don't find it inside right now. The Rambam writes that, oh, there it is on the top of page 3, that with regard to Chovel v'chavero, v'amazik mamono, afal pishashila mashu chayavlo, enem eskapet shisvade, v'yoshu milasos kazeliola. In other words, he needs vidui. Vidui is only lifnei Hashem. You know, there's no such thing as vidui vis-a-vis my friend. So it means that even though my friend has been compensated, and it's purely an avera benonim lechavero, nevertheless, I need vidui and tshuva. So all these proofs indicate that there is kaviyochel astira between the sugya in the Gemara in Yuma and the Rambam himself. The sugya in the Gemara in Yuma assumes that Beinonim L'Chaver is just that. It's Beinonim L'Chaver, period. You get the Ritzui and that's it. There's nothing more necessary. The Rambam, over and over again, speaks about Vidui, even with regard to Mitzvah Beinonim L'Chaver, implying that even a Mitzvah Beinonim L'Chaver needs Vidui. And you take a look at the Nusach HaVidui, which you'll find on page 4, and you'll see that included in that list is Gazalnu, Chamasnu, and in the Al-Chait, you know, a whole bunch of sins that are Beinonim L'Chavero. So the Vidui that we recite is both for Beinonim L'Makom and Beinonim L'Chavero. That seems to support the Rambam's view. And you could ask, what's the point of Vidui? Based on the Gemara here, the Gemara says that after Im Yechta Ish L'Ish Afil Olakim, that Hashem will be Mochel him, and therefore he doesn't need Vidui on Beinonim L'Chaver. All he needs is Ritzui. And not only that, Vidui without Ritzui is meaningless as well. So Mimonav Shach, he must have Vidui. In other words, what we're saying is that Ritzui L'Chora is not sufficient. If Ritzui, it's necessary, but it's not sufficient. If it was sufficient, then why is he reciting Vidui on Mitzvah Ospein Onim L'Chavero? What good is he going to get by that? Because he must have Ritzui anyway. Right? We said over and over again, there's no Yom Kippur and there's no Kapara without Ritzui. So once he has Ritzui, L'Chora, according to the Sugya, he doesn't need Vidui. So what's the point of saying Vidui on Mitzvah Ospein Adam Bein Adam L'Chaver? Yeah.
The Indian of Tshuva, in other words, in order to do Tshuva, to say that I regret what I did, I'll never do it again, that's a different element of the, in other words, that comes to really Bein Adam L'Makim in a sense. In other words, you have to expunge the Avera with your friend and get Ritzui. Right. But then there's a different element of it, which is tshuva.
Because every sin, Beinonim L'Chavero, is really a double sin. Is that what you're saying, Barry? Bobby? Yeah, Bobby's right. On the one hand, Beinonim L'Chavero is a sin against another person. But at the same time, I violated a mitzvah in the Torah, whatever that mitzvah is. So it's a sin against God.
Part of tshuva is that you have to say, I'm never going to do it again. That's nothing to do, and that's what the vidui is, and that has nothing to do with your friend, really.
So the only question I have for you, Bobby, I agree with everything you're saying, but I just don't know at this point how to interpret the language of the Gemara, which you'll see on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that Im yechta ish leish ufil lechaver v'ritzo, elokim yimcholo. What do you mean elokim yimcholo? What is the meaning of elokim yimcholo if he needs vidui and he needs tshuva because every beinonim lechaver is also a sin against God? That's what I can't figure out. At this point, I don't have an answer to explain and justify the Rambam Shita. The Rambam makes a clear-cut distinction in an absolute way between beinonim Chaveru and Benola Mokka, Benola Chaveru requires public vidui. It's a great idea. It's highly recommended. Beit Adam LeMokom. The answer is no. Thumbs down. No public vidui. And the Rambam doesn't qualify. There seems to be so many logical reasons to qualify. But moving on to a slightly different question. Inyan Le'inyan Be'oso Inyan. What about the idea of telling the victim, meaning the offender, should tell the victim exactly what he did against him. And the Mishnah Berurah here in Siman Tofresh Vav Sivkat and Beis quotes the Bach and Habavakish Mechila Sheposha Kenegdon Tzarch Lefaresh B'Shas Mechila Sapshir. When he asks Mechila, he has to tell him and notify him exactly what he did against him. And then again, he should not send a Shliach necessarily, but he should show up himself and ask for pius. So the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Broida, says that the reason for this is that just like with regard to vidui in mitzvot bein adam lemakom, there are two requirements. It's got to be lifnei Hashem, and there's got to be pirut hachet. He's got to mention what he sinned. So too, in the case of what parallels vidui in the case of bein adam lechaveru, namely bakoshas mechila, here too, it's got to be pirut hachet. He has to tell him what he, how, and specifically he sinned against him. And number two, it's got to be in front of him. He has to come personally. It's got to be lifnei Hashem. In this case, lifnei misha hu chata kenegdo. And it means that the pasuk mechasep shav lo yatzliach, which the Gemara quotes in Yuma, as we saw earlier. And that, the Gemara says, is a reference to Bein Adam Lechavero, Lo Yatzlich, is telling us that the Chote Lechavero, when he comes to ask for Mechili, has to be Misvada in front of Chavero, which means he's got to be very specific to be Mefarit Techet Shechoto Kenegdo. And that's what the Torah, that's what the Pasuk means in Mishle, when it says Mechasip Shav Lo Yatzliach, it's a kind of a vidui almost, and not a vidui lifnei Hashem in this case, but a vidui lifnei Chavero, and the dinim of vidui now apply; they kick in. And there's a kolel in Bnei Brak. The Rosh Kol's name is Rav Yosef Rappaport, and he's quoted here in the pages of Olamot.net. From a book that he published called Shuvas Hashana, Ki Chovas Haritzui Eino Rak Mishum Tikun HaMa'aves, that the purpose of Ritzui is not just Hasoras Hakpeda, it's not like compensating someone and now you have no claim against me because I compensated you. El Yesh Bazem Mishum Maisa Tshuva. And perhaps he has in mind what we said before about Tahara, I don't know. And he says the fact that he lowers himself, he embarrasses himself to come in front of his friend for Bakosha's Mechila, that's part of Tshuva. That's what I call Busha. In any event, this is supported by a Medrash Tanchuma, which by the way the Mordechai quotes. And the Medrash goes through the whole Seder of Pius Lechavero. He says, V'imholach l'ratzoso v'lo kibol olav mayase yovi asor b'nei odo v'yase shura achas v'yom alehem k'toto iso b'ini uvein chavir v'olachti l'ratzoso v'lo kibol olav v'hakadosh baruch hu roe shehishpil atzmo umarachem olav. That if he did not succeed, despite all these great efforts to achieve a mechila from his friend, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees how much he lowered himself, that's the offender of course, umarachim olav, and he grants divine compassion. And it seems that within the context and the entire constellation of Bakosh Mechil, there's an element here of Hishpil Atzmo. In other words, not just the Hechadimtza here of Mechila, but there's also some sort of level of tshuva of Hishpil Atzmo. Now, again, as I mentioned at the outset, there's a long presentation, an essay here from the Som Derech, and he, as we saw, was not happy with the Kesef Mishnah as far as what the source of the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva is, as the Kesef Mishnah points to the Mishnah in Perek HaChovil and Bava Kamma. And he says, no, Ein zev vidui lifnei hamokom el vidui shemesvada lifnei chavero bishah shemavakesh mimenu mechila. In other words, the Rosh Yeshiva also uses this concept, this phrase of misvada lifnei chavero, and therefore it makes sense that the laws of vidui that govern vidui lifnei Hashem will govern vidui lifnei chavero as well. The chida, which you have here on page 4, writes in Birkei Yosef, this was the concept that Bobby was mentioning or hinting at earlier today, that Bein Ono L'Chavero has two elements to it. It also has a Chelek Avoah. It's interesting that if there's every, you know, interpersonal relation, Bein Ono L'Chavero is a Chet L'Chavero, and at the same time has a dimension of Chet L'Gavoah, there is an interrelationship here, or an interdependence. And that means that he cannot separate between the two and say, you know what, I'm going to work on my Chelek Avoah, and I'm going to do Tshuva Lifnei Hashem and Vidui Lifnei Hashem. No. The Birkei Yosef claims that until he squares off with his friend, he cannot achieve kapara on the chelik of va. In other words, it's only when he gets mechila from his friend whom he offended, then he can go to the next stage and try to achieve mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One could have argued, and we saw this far earlier, that once he gets mechila from his friend, then he has automatically in his back pocket a kapara, even on the chelek gavoah. And if you look in the Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Zayin Sifkat Yud Gimel, in the name of the Prima Gadim, he writes, "Af bein adam lechavero ganav gazlan kadoma afal pishem machalo veheshiv zagzel mikomakom misvada biyom akipurim li olam the mikomakom bein adam lemakom chata." In other words, the Mishnah Berurah, the name of the Prima Gadol, is making a fundamental distinction between two types of averos. Two types of averos bein olam lechavero. There's averos bein olam lechavero in monetary offense, meaning we're talking about gneva and gzela. And here there is a need for a, what word can I use, liolam, a constant, endless vidui on every, annually on every Yom Kippur Tuli day he dies. But then we have the case of Hignit Chaver Bidvarim, which is not a financial offense against his friend, causes his friend no financial loss. And here it's sufficient that one, that number one, he achieve a mechila from his friend. And once he gets mechila from his friend, then he should be misvada on one Yom Kippur. And after that, he doesn't, no longer needs vidui for any subsequent Yom Kippur. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Wish everyone again a Gemar Chasima Tovah.